I'm here this afternoon, and I would like to thank, first of all, God. For I have noticed that we keep ignoring God in everything that we do. And we must always put God first and foremost. So I would like to read to you from the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. before I proceed with my discussions on the budget. So I say to you, seek God and discover Him and make Him a power in your life. Without Him, all of our efforts.
Honourable Member, do you have a reference?
The words of Martin Luther King Jr.
From which document do you have? Could you just, for the purposes of the record, let us know
the title of the book is The Words of Martin Luther King Jr.
And you would be prepared to make this a document in the House?
Yes, I am.
Thank you.
Without Him, all of our efforts turn to ashes and our sun rises into darkest night. Without Him, life is a meaningless drama with the decisive scenes missing. But with Him, we are able to rise from fatigue of despair to the buoyancies of hope. And with that, I would like to continue my discussion. I noticed that my honorable colleagues keep leaving their constituencies for last, but I'm going to discuss my constituency first, so I don't go into time. That's right. I'm going to marry the two Miku constituencies if my honorable colleague from Miku South permits me in some of my discussions. The two constituencies of Miku North and Miku South, and my honorable colleagues in the opposition must agree with me, were severely neglected for the past 10 years. We have to give Jack his jacket. We talk about police stations and fire stations. Yes, these are all well and good. But we are talking about a constituency or constituencies that depend on agriculture. I would suggest to these members of the House to take a drive on these roads because they are in a deplorable condition. And they are deplorable because they have been neglected. And by neglecting those roads, we have neglected the farmers and, by extension, agriculture. So when we talk about the decline in bananas, you know why. It is not because of the cost of inputs and the destruction of the farms and the boxing plants in 1996-97. Some of which is to do with the roads. The farmers will tell you they abandoned their farms because they could not access their farms because the roads are in such deplorable condition. I am going to talk about one road right now. It's called the Royal Road. And I beg my Minister of Agriculture and my Minister of Communications and Works to look seriously at this road. The farmers who drive this road continually have to stop, upload their vehicles, drive again, and put the boxes of bananas back on. Why are you asking this? They do such a thing. You think it's for physical exercise and entertainment? I think not. The vans and trucks with their heavy loads cannot pass through the potholes and sinking bridges of this road. And so when you want to talk about agriculture, I think that we in the House need to go to these areas and look at what we have done to those people. Because it is easy for us to sit in our houses watching TV and talking about banana wars and arguing in this honorable House about who did what and what did who. But at the end of the day, we are here to represent the people. And I would like to agree with my constituency rep that we should not politicize these things. Yes, we represent political parties, the United Workers' Party, the Central Labour Party, but when we become a government, we no longer represent a party, we represent the people of St. Lucia. And so, we need to stop this politicizing. So I urge my colleagues that even though the degradation of their roads was not the fault of this administration, that they would look, where possible, to assist the people of my constituency. I would like also to speak to the people of my constituency and tell them, bear some patience. I know that it is continually being said to you, bear patience, and you ask me, how long can I bear patience? But we are small island developing states. We have a limited budget. And the Miku North and Miku South constituencies are not the only two constituencies in the entire island. And there are many roadworks that have to be done. So we have to prioritize. And therefore, I beg you to bear patience. But I ask the ministers to look carefully at the roads that they are doing and look at the ones that are so badly degraded that they must be done immediately. I'm going to move on to sports. The community of Miku North is renowned for sportsmen, cricketers, athletes. But the facilities there are severely lacking. And so, with the assistance of funds from the government of Taiwan, I am going to ensure that in the short term, some of the necessities and improvements in sporting facilities are done. And I will give you a few examples. A well playing field in Monaco. If you haven't been there, it's a wonderful place. But the problem is there's no electricity. So, I shall ensure that electricity is brought to the field. For women who are playing sports, it is demoralizing that most of these facilities do not have changing rooms. What is it like for a woman to be changing inside a vehicle or behind a bush? There are no toilet facilities, so a woman has to go behind the bush. It's easy for a man, or easier. But when you are in a place which has no light, it then becomes dangerous for a woman. So I'm going to ensure that those things are done, that every facility has changing rooms. There's an issue of lighting. Even in Miku, the youth, we talk about youth, we talk about delinquency, but you don't give the youth things to do. The youth want to play sports, but they can't play sports after 6 o'clock because there are no lights. There are no lights on the field, there's no lights on the court. And how do we expect us to bring along world-class champions if we are not giving them the tools? So I will ensure, at least in the short term, these things are done. In the long term, the plan is to increase the number of multipurpose courts, the number of fields in the area. I would also ask the Minister of Sports that we look closely at our school programs for sport. And I'm talking to all parties on either side of the table. We boast the national stadium, the Beausejour cricket ground. We continue to boast about large-scale infrastructure and it's on both sides of the table. But have we gotten down to grassroots and said at the primary school level, is there an organized sporting program for the children? There isn't. Madam Speaker, I talk from experience because I have children who go to school and every whatever day it is, they dress up in their school uniform. I ask them at the end of school day, how was school? They tell me, I had fun, I ran around the school. And then we want to talk about Olympians and Shaq and all the basketball stars and the rugby stars and the American football players, but we are not giving our children the tools. And when the children get older, we want to question, why are they delinquents? Further, to talk about information technology. Madam Speaker, in this changing climate in the world, it is necessary to equip our children with such tools. And therefore, there will be an establishment of community, of computer centers at the libraries and community centers in Miku and Monaco. The reason why I'm talking about the library is that the library is access to everybody, not only children. I will move into agriculture. We have had many discussions with persons in our in my constituency, Madam Speaker, and I have observed that people are talking about greenhouses, and they think greenhouses are the world's greatest thing. Greenhouses are good. Greenhouses can improve your productivity, but they have to be situated in the right place, and they have to grow specific crops. Not every crop can grow in a greenhouse. And therefore, with assistance from the Ministry of Education and the Government of Taiwan, we are planning to hold a number of training workshops to sensitize the people in the constituency of Miku North to greenhouse technology. Further, we have discussed, Madam Speaker, to look into donation of the land. The plan is to determine best land usage for agriculture and crops in order to get maximum yield. Because in certain areas, people are growing crops that are unsuitable to those lands. And I do believe that over time, the ministry, maybe in their five-year strategy, should look carefully at the zonation of the country, probably into something like the quadrant plan for agriculture, Madam Speaker. The reason being is you have different soil types, you have different microclimates, and there are a number of things that will cause crops to grow or fail. And as we talk about food security, it is imperative that we begin to look at all of these in order that we be able to provide for the people of St. Lucia. And therefore, I think it is necessary. So I'm taking this bold step and starting it in my constituency. Now I need to move on to education. And we keep hearing about universal, secondary, and primary. Madam Speaker, I would like my honorable colleagues in the opposition to listen to my point of view, and this is my point of view. I do not think that we were ready for universal secondary school education. The reason why I say this is because we don't have universal primary school education. Yes, we have the facilities. I agree, we have the facilities. But children still are not going to school. Parents are keeping them out to tend the farms and the animals and to babysit the children and the siblings and the aunties and the grandmothers. We do not have universal primary school education. If you look in the Economic Review 2007, it clearly articulates that there was 97% of children got school placement for secondary schools. But less than half of them reached the national mean. We are sending children to secondary school with common entrance levels of 0 and 19%. What are we asking? We are dooming those children to failure. Children are entering secondary school not being able to read and write. So, are we really ready for universal secondary school education? We need to look closely, Madam Speaker, at education, and the Honorable Minister of Education will go into greater detail, but I believe it will be amiss of me because these are things that trouble me that I need to talk about. And I must commend the government for focusing on technical and vocational training. One of the problems we have in our educational system is it focuses on academia. There are always going to be children and people who are never going to be academic, but will have those technical and vocational skills. We are talking about plumbers and artisans and musicians. They don't necessarily have to be academic, but the school system we have forces them to go through that academic system and dooms them yet again to failure. And we want to talk about youth and delinquency. It's so obvious why, and we continue to talk about it. I have read budgets from 1976, and we talk about youth training programs. I went through every single budget address from 1976, and there is continuing talk about youth and delinquency and training programs, but we are not getting to the bottom of the matter. So I must commend the government for taking the initiative and looking at technical and vocational training. The technical and vocational training is something that is desperately needed in my constituency because there are many people who are within the ages of 15 to 25 who cannot read and write. And I believe part of the problem was the removal of the school subsidy. The transport subsidy was removed, and in a climate where agriculture was declining and the income in the family homes were declining, parents no longer had money to send their children to school. So you have a large group of children within that age range that never went to secondary or primary school. So therefore, it is my intention to assist the Ministry of Education by giving some of the money from the Taiwanese allocation specifically for that subsidy for welfare. And that welfare fund is not only for transportation, but also for the school feeding programs, laboratories, and a number of other things. And I will encourage my colleagues of the opposition, Madam Speaker, since they do not want to use the $1 million allocation, maybe they will be willing to give this money towards the welfare subsidies for the children of St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, being the only woman in this lower house, I have been given the duty and the honor to talk about women affairs and families. It is indeed an honor because I think, and I am not conceited in saying this, that I am one of the only people besides yourself, Madam Speaker, in this honorable house, that understands these women's issues. I don't think the gentlemen sitting around the table really do understand to such an extent the women's issues. And I would firstly like to commend, Madam Speaker, the family court, the staff of the Ministry of Family Affairs and Gender Relations, for their exceedingly hard work to ensure that there are changes in gender relations and family affairs in St. Lucia. It is a struggle. And it is indeed shocking. And I would like my colleagues, if they have time, sometimes to go down to the family court and listen to the horror stories. Because they are indeed horror stories. The domestic violence stories that you hear are things that you thought were only on TV. But they are a reality. And I'm glad to see that in this budget, they have approved for residential quarters for the Uptown Girls Center. Someone might question, why residential quarters? There are many girls now on the streets, troubled children, who have no homes or their parents cannot handle them. And the Uptown Girls Center is doing commendable work. And by providing residence quarters, those children will have a home. They will stay away from the streets and the oldest profession in the world. They will stay away from drugs and delinquency, and they will get an opportunity to make a difference to their lives. When we look at children, we were all children. I don't think we would want to go through some of the things that the children are going through today, Madam Speaker. Abuse, incest, rape, and it continues and continues. And those children sometimes have to live in homes where their parents are the rapists and the abusers. They are afraid and scared. And so I must commend this government for making sure that in this budget, monies were allocated for a safe home for these children. And in doing so, we have also fulfilled our commitment for the Convention to the Rights of a Child. We must not only forget, remember our children. We must remember our senior citizens, because we too will grow old. And it seems to be the norm that once we pass a certain age, we are put out to pasture and forgotten. But when we forget those, we forget the wisdom of the ages. So, I am glad that in this budget, Madam Speaker. Monies have been allocated to a new senior citizen's home. The senior citizen's home, which presently is located in Margaretwood, the land was sold by the former administration for tourism development. And therefore, these people need to be relocated. The home in Margaretwood was in a deplorable condition. The roof was leaking. The steps were falling down. I mean, this is not what you would like to live in. Why should we have our elderly live in such a situation? And therefore, I am glad that those people will be relocated. And I do hope the government will pick a suitable site somewhere near the sea where they can look out and enjoy the view of St. Lucia. There are many issues with gender, but one of the major pressing issues is lack of staffing. And I do hope that in this budget, staffing issues will be sort of resolved. I do understand that we are a government that has limited resources, and this government is very proactive in looking at those issues of family affairs and gender. But you cannot do your work if you do not have enough staff. And again, I would like to commend the staff of the family court, because the job of the family court is a frustration. Day after day, you have to hear problems, and you have to take it on your shoulders and try and solve those problems. And with limited resources and limited staff, those persons have created absolute miracles, Madam Speaker. I would like to speak to the men of St. Lucia who continue to have children without consideration for further implications. Yes, you had a nice time, hey Dudu Sherry. But what happens when the baby comes along? A child needs clothing and milk. And my honorable colleague from Beaufort North mentioned about the skyrocketing prices of milk. How do you think the mother is going to provide for this if she is uneducated, unemployed? Step in the wrong direction. The fathers have to take on their responsibilities. It is not only in good times, it is also in bad times. If you don't want children, you know what to do. This year, 150 parents collected monies from the family court. Only 150. There are so many others that are out there desperate, needing money. And so therefore I implore the men of St. Lucia, some of them are women, but most of them are men that are delinquent, to live up to your responsibilities. Because when you get older, you may want that child to help you. That child needs to be educated. That child needs a good, good social standing. And in that, I move on to my next area. And I am going to answer the question of my honorable colleague from Beaufort North. who talk about fisheries, and he kept mentioning fisheries. Well, I think, yes, let me talk about fisheries. First of all, we talked about fuel, and the lack of fuel being subsidized for the fishermen. Fuel is subsidized for the fishermen, but you have to be a member of a fisherman's cooperative in order for you to get that duty-free refund. To date, the amount of money spent for that refund was $199,884.72. And that is not the full amount, because this refund is paid in quarters, and therefore the quarter for March has not been paid as yet. So therefore, the fishermen are getting some assistance in terms of duty-free subsidies. However, I would like to encourage the fishermen, and by extension the government, to look at incentives for engines, four-stroke engines, which would allow those fishermen to cut down on their fuel costs. The problem we have with our fishery is that it is a small artisanal fishery where fishermen are using small boats with outboard engines. We have to look at our maritime space. Our maritime space is limited because we are surrounded, Madam Speaker, by several islands. And where other countries may have an economic exclusion zone of 200 miles, we do not have such. We have 12 miles to the north, 12 miles to the south, 50 miles to the east, and 190 to the west. The reason why we do not have 200 miles on the west is that Venezuela has claimed Aegis Island. And therefore we have to encourage, and we have been, the Department of Fisheries, Madam Speaker, has been encouraging fishermen to move into larger vessels. But we have to understand our culture. Fishermen want to go out and come home. At night, they want to show fame with their girlfriends. And so, we have seen some changes in technology over the years, but the move to larger vessels has not happened. And so therefore, we have to encourage the fishermen to use more engines, fuel-efficient engines, with the increase in fuel prices. Fishing is expanding, and the number of fishermen are expanding. But one of the problems is that 57% of our fishermen are over the age of 50. And this lends a problem. And we need to encourage fishermen, younger fishermen, to come in to this industry. The problem we have in St. Lucia now is that both agriculture and fisheries is looked down upon. People want to dress up in nice suits and work in hotels and move into the service sector. But how do we expect to feed the service sector if we have no fishermen and no farmers? In 2006-2007, there was an increase in fish landings for most species. And if you look at the estimates, however, you will realize there was a decline for both tuna and shark species. The decline for those species, one, the decline of tuna has been seen for a number of years, and this seems to be a global problem. And this is possibly due to overfishing of large industrial nations. The decline of sharks, however, is possibly due to a shift in gale. Now I need to answer my colleague from Beaufort North, Madam Speaker, about the ancillary project. The ancillary project has been mentioned in the budget since 2005. And I will beg, Madam Speaker, to ask my honorable colleague from Beaufort North to not mislead the people. This is an external grant. External grants are not given overnight. There are feasibility studies, and a number of things have to be done before the money is given. And therefore, it takes time. I do not know what has happened to us as a nation. We have become very impatient and expect things to be done overnight. And therefore, as I mentioned, it has been there since 2005. But this year, it has been approved and will be coming on stream at the end of the year. Further to this, as you may be aware, Madam Speaker, there is an issue of siltation at the fishing port in Chozelle due to not construction of the facility, but the dynamics of the sea currents, which bring sediment into this area, creating at certain times an artificial beach. And therefore, this year, assistance from the government of Japan in collaboration with the Ministry of Agriculture, there will be a study and this problem should be solved. There is constant mention of FADs. FADs are fish aggregating devices. Most people talk about floating items on the sea as bois. These attract fish. Fish stay around them for whatever reason. And therefore, a fish aggregating device is just an artificial bois. But you will continue to hear mention of FADs in every budget. The reason why you hear mention of FADs in these budgets is that the lifespan of a FAD is only 3 years. And if you look at our rough seas and high sea conditions, sometimes those FADs only last for 1 year. But with the increase in FADs, this has led to a decrease in the amount of fuel utilized by the fishermen and an increase in catch of certain species such as marlin, tuna, dolphin fish, and wahoo. And I am pleased yet again that this program has been put back into the budget, Madam Speaker. Last year, in an initiative to bring in young persons into the industry, the Department of Fisheries, Madam Speaker, had young fishermen training programs. The role of these programs are to introduce the fishermen to new technology, including safety equipment. And the reason why I stress safety equipment is because, Madam Speaker, persons tend to think, okay, I was lost at sea, why didn't you save me? It costs millions of dollars for search and rescue. If we have to contact Puerto Rico, Madam Speaker, for deployment of that aircraft, it goes to millions of dollars. When sometimes all you needed was a flare, Madam Speaker. And therefore, there is need to educate. And you will hear me mention education, because education is the key to opening every door. Education is in every facet of life, Madam Speaker. persons tend to think of education solely as academia, but we continue to learn until we die. One of the things that is necessary with our move into the service industry is to encourage fishermen, Madam Speaker, to increase their quality of fish. And the department's aim is to continue working with fishermen to ensure that boats are retrofitted for the use of ice and therefore to ensure better quality. In addition to that, there is need for value added, because at the moment, when you drive past on the road, past the fisheries complex, and this has been a problem for me for a number of years. I mentioned it to former ministers of agriculture, but to no avail. If you pass by the St. Lucia Fish Market Corporation on an evening, there are persons selling fish. Pollution, fumes from vehicles, the fish have been caught since 11 o'clock in the morning and they are there until 9 o'clock in the night. We need to set proper standards. We as St. Lucians need to ask ourselves, is this what we want? Because our import bill is high. We are importing dolphin fillets. We are importing tuna, cheap imitations from Guyana such as Bangamari. When we are an island surrounded by sea, and at certain times of the year, the fishermen cannot get sail for their fish. But by increasing the quality and the value, Madam Speaker, the fishermen shall get sail for their fish. And therefore, the Department of Fisheries, Madam Speaker, continues to work with the fishermen to encourage such incentives by working with them in young fishermen training programs and other programs that have been set out in this budget. Madam Speaker, I think it would be amiss of me not to talk about the environment. I listened to the budget and I must commend the Honorable Prime Minister, Madam Speaker, for certain things that were put in the budget. The demarcation of all wetlands, Madam Speaker, as natural reserves. This is very important. Persons might ask why wetlands are nasty and smelly, full of mosquitoes. Why protect the wetlands? The entire ecosystem is interlinked. Our fisheries are linked to the wetlands. Our wetlands are linked to the rivers. Our rivers are linked to the forests. And therefore, this is a very bold move. The Honorable Prime Minister, Madam Speaker, mentioned in his budget the decline in coral reefs. Coral reefs, Madam Speaker, have been declining for a number of years due to pollution, stress from man-made land-based pollution. And a case in point, when we look at these coral reefs declining, they declined, Madam Speaker, in 2003. They were 26% of the coverage along the east coast, and they declined to 12.3% in 2006, and they are continuing to decline while we continue to pollute our environment. The east coast, Madam Speaker, was almost pristine, and I think that it'd be amiss of me, Madam Speaker, if I don't talk about improper coastal development and the improper coastal development that is presently occurring in my constituency. the blatant removal of large amounts of trees, causing massive amounts of siltation to enter into pristine environment, almost destroying, completely destroying the marine environment along the Pralek coast. And then we talk about we are the custodians of the environment. And I'm talking to everyone, Madam Speaker. I'm not pointing blame at anyone, Madam Speaker. I heard the honorable, my honorable colleague from Beaufort North talk about culture. I agree with him on certain aspects. Because the people with no culture don't exist. What makes us different from a Barbadian or Vincentian or Grenadian? It's not our race. Because if it was our race, I don't know where I would fit. Madam Speaker, it is our culture. But that same development that I'm talking about destroyed a large percentage of our history and our culture. And I think, and I am glad to hear the Honorable Prime Minister, Madam Speaker, talk about ensuring that there is proper management of such development. Because we cannot continue to let these things happen. I must continue on the environment because, as I said, we are custodians of the environment, Madam Speaker. And I hear my fellow colleagues in the opposition criticizing the hotel development. I don't think you all want me to go down in previous budgets and quote how many hotel developments you all propose to come in a number of years. Hotel developments provide employment, and it is always the pressure of the incumbent government to provide employment. If you drive down the roads of St. Lucia at 2:33 o'clock, the thousands of children you see on the road. If you are the then Prime Minister, you must scratch your head and wonder, how am I going to provide employment, Madam Speaker? And the thrust was by the then Labour Party government to move faster into the service sector. And by destroying, and I would say, yes, you all destroyed, and I don't know why you all don't want to admit it, destroyed the agricultural.
Honourable Member, we speak in the third person, as opposed to the second person. So you refer to the former government as opposed to you or you all.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The destruction of the agricultural sector caused persons to move away and search for jobs in the service sector, and there are a large amount of people who cannot get employment, Madam Speaker. But yes, we have to deal with what we have at hand. And so now we have a service-based economy, Madam Speaker. And therefore, in order to provide employment, one of the ways is to go through hotel development, Madam Speaker. But I will urge my colleagues to look carefully at this hotel development. Because in the budget, Madam Speaker, we talk about declining water levels in our rivers. But on the other hand, we are proposing a large number of golf courses. I know, Madam Speaker, persons may be wondering why I am criticizing, but I believe in constructive criticism. And if we are already seeing declining water levels in our rivers, it is something that we have to be concerned about. Golf courses take a large amount of water. And I will urge the Prime Minister, Madam Speaker, and he has mentioned it in his budget, where he clearly states, Madam Speaker, map out certain selected green areas throughout the island and to hold and to keep these areas as parkland. I will encourage him to look at large amounts of land, and particularly along the East Coast, for such. And the reason why I talk about the East Coast is that the East Coast is the last refuge of the iguana. And why, you wonder, Madam Speaker, am I talking about the iguana? St. Lucia was named after the iguana. It was held in high esteem by the Caribs, and we call our country, Madam Speaker, Ianola. And now, with such development, there is possibly the extinction of that very species. Along the East Coast, where a lot of development is proposed, the dryland forest is found. It is not found on the West Coast. And so therefore, we have to look carefully. And I know that the Prime Minister will ensure that this is done. Because there are a number of species, Madam Speaker, that desperately need protection. We see it all the time, Madam Speaker, about the white-breasted thrasher. The white-breasted thrasher is found only in two countries. It is found in St. Lucia and Martinique. But the Martinique population exists only of 40 birds. And yes, while we have to provide employment, we have to remember that persons who are coming to visit our friendly shores are coming for the scenery, the beauty, the spectacularness of our wonderful country. And therefore, I would like to ensure that I support the government and the budget, but to ensure that such lands are protected for our children and our grandchildren. Madam Speaker, my learned colleague, again from Beaufort North, mentioned culture and the lack of culture in the budget. I too was a bit taken aback that there was no mention of culture in the budget. Because anybody that knows me will hear me talk about culture and the need for culture, Madam Speaker. We talk about La Rose and La Marguerite. We are the only country in the entire world that has such festivals, but the festivals are dying. But I have gone through every single budget since 1996, and the last mention of culture, not excluding last year, was in 1996. So, Madam Speaker, yes, we need to look at infrastructure, but we also need to look at social structure. And as I said, a people with no culture don't exist. And I do believe that although it was not mentioned in the program and in this budget, it shall be carried out in the program of the relevant ministry. And therefore, we have to ensure that our culture is kept alive and vibrant. Because although things may not be mentioned in our budget, they are included in the program of the ministry. And it is the responsibility of the opposition to ensure that they put pressure to ensure that certain programs are included where they are applicable. And therefore, Madam Speaker, in closing, if you permit me, I would like to read from the Nobel Laureate lecture of Derek Walcott, The Antilles, Fragments of Epic Memory.
You would also need Honourable Member in keeping with procedure to make this document to the House.
And while I read this, please be aware that this is for everybody, not incumbent government and not opposition, but for all of us in Mauritius. Here is where real fiscals should be painted, one without importance, but one with real faith, mapless, historyless. How quickly it could all disappear, and how it is beginning to drive us further into where we are, we hope, our impenetrable places, green secrets at the end of bad roads, headlands where the view is not of a hotel, but of some long beach with a figure, and the hanging question of some fisherman's smoke at its far end. The Caribbean is not idle, not to its natives. They draw their working strength from it organically, like the trees, like the spiced almond or the spiced laurels of the heights. It is pleasantries, and its fishermen are not those to be loved or even photographed. They are trees whose sweat and those whose bark are filmed with salt. But every day on some islands, ruthless trees in suits are signing favorable tax breaks with entrepreneurs poisoning the sea almonds and the spice laurels of the mountains to the roots. A morning will come and government might ask what happened merely to the forest and to the bays, but to a whole people. And therefore, it is our responsibility, Madam Speaker, to ensure that we stand right for the people. And I support my fellow colleague, my district rep, and encourage fellow speakers who come after me, please stop this politicking and ripping each other to shreds. It is our role to educate the people of St. Lucia and to do what is right and best for them, not what is right for us to remain in government. Thank you.